real.
Butter.
I see dead people.
I thought you weren't insane anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually a thing. I'm a being.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
Maybe it'll all just go away. Like a bad dream.
I doubt it.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Coming to you from the dimly lit and quaint break room of the fabulous and family-owned and operated Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor American city. This is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Poppy.
I'm Peter Theater.
And I'm Amanda LeBlanc.
And that was a delayed response.
Yep, we got a delay coming from Los Angeles on this evening.
Yeah. Today we're going to review The Invisible Man. Not the other one.
Not the classic.
No, the new one.
The new one, starring Elizabeth Moss, a queen.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, she plays two icons on TV. Peggy Olson from Mad Men, and June from Handmaid's Tale, which I haven't even finished the third season.
And also this movie.
Yeah, I can't handle it. She's so intense. Okay.
She carries this movie all the way through and does an amazing job.
Dude, it was great.
I did not watch this movie. I couldn't.
Reasons. Excuse yourself quickly.
I can't do it. I live alone most of the time. And I just, like, I would never sleep again thinking that there's an invisible man trying to kill me in my apartment. Can't do it. So I had to recuse myself this week.
What was it?
Wise choice.
Yeah.
Because if this movie would, it does make you paranoid about empty rooms and empty chairs.
Oh, God.
It's very well executed so that you really feel that fear. And it's so, like, it's not fantastical. The terror is really based in real life and in relationships and in real places, and so it's much scarier. Not really like a fun horror movie, but I give it major points for how well it's executed.
For sure.
Cool.
Yeah, they had to start, like, not to really correct you, but he wasn't, like, trying to kill her the whole time, which was weird. He was just kind of messing with her.
I don't like that.
He was a, like, narcissistic psychopath boyfriend, like, super rich, and he was in, like, some optics program where he was, like, trying to figure out, you know, invisibility cloaks and, like, I don't know. It was really vague, but they explained it well in the movie.
So he, like, had this technology, basically.
Right. And then
and it made himself invisible.
Yeah, she tried to, she tried and succeeded. escaping him, she like ran over, she like crawled over a fence, that's how bad it was,
because he was abusive.
Yeah,
like when they were dating.
Yeah, basically. And he just manipulative, horrible guy, and he wound up chasing after her because she bumped the car and it went off, and her sister picked her up. It was like the dead of night, and she got in the car. Sister's like, are you okay, what's going on? She's like, just drive. And all of a sudden he's right at the window and he punches through the window. Dude,
no,
he's not even superhuman.
I literally am scared just from you talking about
this. He just punched through the window, broke blood all over his hand, and he just grabs her and he's like, you can't leave me. And then they just drive off, and he's still hanging on to her, dude.
Jesus.
And then he lets go.
Oh my God.
He's insane.
That's like my worst fear. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, that's so scary.
Yeah.
And that really happens in real life.
Yeah,
you know?
Punch through a window.
People do that.
Get over it, man.
Oh yeah. The writer-director, Leigh Whannell, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. He wrote it and directed it, and he was given the basic premise of making an Invisible Man movie. And he sort of started putting it together with the ideas about domestic abuse.
Yeah.
And, like, researching real stories on that, and that's how it sort of came together. Yeah, so this guy's sort of like the ultimate abuser type figure. He's very, you know, he's handsome, he's intelligent, he's very wealthy, and like nobody believes her. Nobody.
Well, it's
and
also
so
the
whole
fact
movie
that he's
is
invisible.
This. It's like the real horror is that nobody believes her. Like, he's able to set up the situation where they just, you know, they just think she's crazy. They think she, and it's, you know.
That's, like, based in real life, too, honestly.
Yeah, totally.
It had a good message to it.
Good.
And
I'm glad.
Yeah, and if you're struggling out there, don't be afraid to you know, call a loved one or 911 or...
They've got domestic abuse, like, helplines.
Yeah, basically.
Get you out. Literally, like, they will extract you and hide you. They will hide you from people.
Right.
Oh, my God. I can't even watch this trailer. Like, I literally had to look away while it was playing because it was so scary to me. Mm-hmm. You know? It just, like, plays on all of those
and, yeah, I think fears. We talked about it in a previous Buttercast episode, and I found it extremely funny, and I thought this was going to be a really stupid movie.
Oh, like a comedy horror kind of a
I thought thing. It was trying to be serious, and I couldn't find it serious because I'm like, he's invisible. This is stupid. I see his butt imprint in the chair. It's, like, kind of funny. But after watching it, I get it. I appreciated it. I mean, I wasn't really paranoid about it afterwards because I'm like, why would an invisible man be there? But the way that they shot the movie was really creepy because it would show her and then it would kind of, it wouldn't cut. It would just pan over to the other side of the room and just stay there for 10 seconds. Nothing's happening in that side of the room. It's just pointed at the wall. And then it just slowly pans over back to her. It's like, oh my God, he's right there is what they're implying.
Right.
And it was like that throughout the whole movie. And she stuck up for herself. It got to the point where she was in like a psych ward.
Yeah.
She was getting drugged because they thought she was insane. And it looked like she killed her sister.
sister died?
Yeah, it was really bad.
Oh, no, I'm really glad I didn't watch that.
But she flipped the whole thing around. Dude, she kicked his booty, dude.
Good.
Yeah, but the way it was shot, acted, directed, I mean.
You liked it? It was a good thriller. Oh, man,
yeah. Just the dead silence, too. Like, they played it well. It was a good thriller. There was only, it was just her sister and then him. That was the only blood. Huh. Yeah, I'm sure there was swearing. I can't remember, but.
Yeah. That's sad. Her sister died.
Yeah, no, it was messed up and, like, framed it on her. Yeah. No, I mean, I was more angry than scared throughout the movie because I was like, oh my God.
That would this be just so frustrating horrible. To
yeah,
be like,
basically.
He's stalking me and he's invisible and everyone's like, okay. Like,
right, right. And the fact that all this...
crazy.
She didn't deserve, like, any of this.
Right.
And it's, you're following this character, I guess, along with the invisible boyfriend. Yeah. But you're following this character that you like who's basically getting the, you know, short end of the stick every moment of the movie.
Kind of reminds me of a movie that came out last year, I think. But I can't remember what it was called, but it had Claire Foy in it. And it was, like, she was locked up in a psych ward, and her, like, crazy ex-boyfriend was there, and, like, that she had a restraining order against, and he was, like, a technician or, like, a nurse or something in the psych ward, and he, like, was, like, terrorizing her.
Yeah.
And she was trying to tell people, and they were like, no, it's not him.
Think they jumped on the bandwagon, or just a coincidence?
Just a coincidence, probably.
It's pretty close.
I didn't see it, so I don't know the specifics, but it just reminds me of that kind of, like, that subgenre, but that is like a really real fear, you know,
yeah.
that, I think that a lot of women have is that, you know, having a partner that ends up being like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't know at the beginning if they turn on the charm, you know?
Right.
So.
Theo, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I know, like at the start of the movie, they showed him punching through the window. So it showed like he was just had freakish strength. But throughout the movie, he's tossing a bunch of people around and, like, literally throwing tables at walls. Huh. Was it implied? Was it implied that he had just, like, freak strength to begin with? Or, like, was the suit also enhancing him?
It's unclear. They don't go into the specifics of the suit. They do show him being... He's a pretty big guy, so he could be pretty strong. But that's something... also, in, like, the original Invisible Man in 1933... he does do some things that would seem like he has super strength as well, and it's never really explained. you know, of course, because when you're invisible, you get stronger.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, is it just because that's not a good enough superpower for people?
I don't know. I mean, it could be the suit. His suit looks pretty fancy.
Yeah,
and I would say this is also the first time an invisible character is not naked.
True.
Because that's the default... Default setting there.
Yeah,
so they have to strip off so they can run around, you know, spying on people.
I think there's a couple people, but I do get what you're saying. I think
Harry Potter didn't have to be naked.
Yeah, that, and then it was the chick from Incredibles. I forget her name.
Oh yeah, Violet.
Violet, and then it was what Mrs. Fantastic or Invisible Woman, whatever her name was.
Well, I mean, if you want to go back a little bit, you could look at Hades's helm, the helm of Hades. That could turn its wearer invisible to mortals and immortals alike.
Ah.
Eh, Perseus wore it when he slay the Gorgon Medusa.
Hang on a second. Any?
I will.
Come to think of it, so Violet from Incredibles, she had force field powers along with her invisibility.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the chick from the Fantastic Four.
Oh, I've never seen
Susan Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's another invisible superpower or something. Is it, do people really think it's not enough? Like, there has to be something else other than being invisible and sneaking?
Well, I mean, because what are you going to do when you're just invisible?
Right, like what is your, is just when you can get into places unseen? Is that your superpower?
I'd dance in front of people. They wouldn't know.
That would be your superpower?
Yeah, or I'd trip them. Like, if there's nothing else, like, you got to work with what you got here.
It definitely leads to creepiness.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's weird that a lot of them are women for some reason. It's a weird connection.
I would also, very quickly, there's several instances recently where people are making strides in actual invisibility.
I have seen that, too.
In real life?
Last year, a company called Hyper Stealth Biotechnology patented the technology behind a material that can bend light to make people and objects near invisible to the naked eye.
Oh, my God.
The material is called Quantum Stealth.
Yeah. I watched some YouTube videos of, it's a guy, right? It's just like one guy is kind of working on it. It might be a different thing, but I think it's the same idea where it's not literally what you think it is, where you can't see the person. It's like a basic shield that bends the light. So if you're really far away, you just kind of see this.
It's like more of a mirage kind of an effect.
Yeah. And like, even if it's up close to the person, you can't see the person, you see behind them, but it's still a little off. But you actually can't see them.
Huh.
But it's like slightly miragey, where it's not quite completely invisible.
It's not like seamless.
Yes, it's like, think of it as like a big shield or a big like just plastic like cutout that like you can be right in front of and you still see like that plastic, but you actually can't see the person right behind it.
Oh.
So it'd be good for military use and people can like make walls out of it essentially or hide, you know, have something on top of them. So
to hide them from.
Yeah. It's a really neat idea.
Is it their heat signature? Because that would probably be something that would have to be.
I don't know.
If they used it to protect themselves from missiles or drone attacks or something, you need to, because that's what they're looking for.
Yeah,
that's what they
for sure.
Right, is like
for sure. It was more for like snipers and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah.
But especially in the movie, I don't know why they didn't just get like heat sensitive goggles.
Right?
And just like find the guy, just like standing there awkwardly in the corner.
Because she's the only one. Because nobody else believed her until the very, very, very end.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but why didn't she
James,
get
her friend, you know, because she's just a regular person. Like, she's trying to figure this stuff out.
That's, but I mean,
I was going to say, her big cop friend, James.
Yeah.
You know, with his big muscles and everything, really nice guy, but turns out to be utterly useless against this. Like, he doesn't even get one punch in or anything like that.
And it wasn't even, it wasn't Jamie, it was Adrian is the ex-boyfriend.
Oh.
Not Jamie, my bad. But it wasn't even Adrian who beat him up, it was his brother.
Oh.
So that's what I'm thinking. It was, the suit had to be enhanced in some way because he just beat him with fists. Like, the guy had a gun, and he somehow, like, beat the crap out of him.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's just the element of surprise, you know? Like, I can sneak up and trip you and...
That is true.
I can smack you around.
I want to talk about this episode.
Just taking it by surprise and getting those first few punches in, that's gonna decide the fight.
That's fair.
If you can't get a good grip on him. Yeah, I don't know. It is ambiguous.
Yeah, but also, like, throwing
ambiguous.
A huge dining table at the wall.
I also felt the ending was a little ambiguous.
Yeah, that was a crazy ending.
Huh.
Like, zoomed in on her face, and that was it.
Wow. You know, she was also in Us. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
She was really good in that movie.
Yeah, totally didn't know that.
You know, she's a really good actress.
Yeah, that's how you know it's a good actor when it's, you don't know.
The only thing is that she's a Scientologist.
Really?
Yeah, like, since birth.
Well, that's probably...
But it's like, man, I just want to, like, it's just crazy to me that, like, she's the lead in The Handmaid's Tale, which is all about, like, you know, control of people, and, like, that's what Scientology does, you know? And I just, like, feel like, how does she...
You were just in a movie about being controlled and
like, how can
manipulated.
You do these roles that are, like, really, like, independent woman kills, you
Maybe
know?
There's
like,
something else there that we don't know.
It's like, how can you do that but then also be a Scientologist? I don't get it, okay? It's like a cognitive dissonance in my brain that it's like, what is she doing?
I don't think
I just
you'll
want
ever
her to
understand.
Not be a Scientologist, and then I could stand forever, you know? And like, you know, with no regrets, I would stand. But it's like, I can't stand. fully, you know?
Right, no, I get what you're saying.
It's always in the back of my mind. Like, even, like, she went to a premiere for the movie wearing this really cool dress.
The Buttercast neither supports nor detracts from any major religion.
Scientology is not a religion. It's a cult.
So you believe in science.
Yeah. Don't get us in trouble with the Scientologists, please.
Whatever. I'm okay with it.
Oh, God, they're going to get us.
Every time I drive past a Scientology building in a nearby town, I flip them off. Double flip off.
They know.
I want them to.
Okay, let's wrap up the review. Theo, what would you... Final thoughts. What would you give it out of five?
Very quickly, my final thoughts, I would say, Amanda did mention Us, and I think this film is definitely in line with the recent trend in horror movies where they're focusing on social issues, such as Get Out, which has sort of racism as the monster or as horror, and then, you know, like Us is sort of, I don't know, self-identity as the horror element, and then this film is, you know, domestic abuse as the monster, and I think that's really interesting. Whereas horror movies of the past would have focused on sort of an abstract monster or something that didn't. I think a lot of these recent horror films are maybe more socially relevant than a lot of the dramas that they're making, and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. Hereditary would be another one, and then that's like grief would be the monster.
Yeah,
I think.
True.
You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
And they're very creepy because it feels like something that is really relevant to your life and that you can see in everyday life. And then they make
home.
A horror movie and it's like, oh my gosh, that could actually happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
What would you give it?
I think this film was very well made. It put me into her mindset, Cecilia. Oh, by the way, Peter, Shoshana pointed this out to me. So the main character's name is Cecilia. Do you remember what her nickname is?
C. Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Right.
Oh my God.
She's the only one who can see what's really going on.
God dang it.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
It's like a dad joke.
It's like a pun.
No, I think it's intentional. She's literally the only character who can see what's happening.
It's just a bad
like,
dad joke.
It's like dad joke intentional.
Fine, whatever. I thought it was a very well made film. It put me into that mindset, and I didn't enjoy it, and that it wasn't pleasurable to watch, but I think it was a very well-made film, and so I will give it 4 butter.
Out of 5.
But, beware, like, viewer beware, if you've had troubling relationships in the past, I don't know if I would advise it.
Yeah, don't watch it.
And it will make you afraid of empty rooms, so, like, for instance, Shoshana she wasn't able to go home after the film, we saw it together. She came back to my place, and she has refused to leave, and she's also used pushpins and twine and put them all over as a trap in case, you know, and there's like, it's very elaborate and it's strung all over the place. So, you know, it does create a genuine sense of fear and paranoia.
With the
so,
red string, you know?
Well done.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Good job. How many butter do you give it, Peter?
Wow. My opinion of the movie has totally like flipped. I thought it was just going to be another stupid horror movie, and I was angry the whole time because, you know, this was the main character and you cared for her and she's just getting treated like absolute dog poop. Mm-hmm. It was just I almost like walked out like to take
you were
a
so mad.
Yeah, because I was just getting
a break. You needed a break.
Yeah,
I did with 1917.
But I stuck through it. I just had some deep breaths. I'm like, oh my God, this is like so frustrating. Surprisingly, I didn't really get spooked after. It just,
you know. You're like over it?
Yeah. I was more of just like really, really pissed off about the whole, you know, domestic abuse.
I'd be afraid to even drive home in my car. I still get kind of freaked out about like, looking in the rearview mirror and someone being in the rearview mirror.
Oh yeah, why do you mention these things?
Sometimes I think about it when I'm driving at night alone, and then I get really scared.
Yeah, let's.
I don't know why.
Let's
okay?
not. Let's not.
Sorry.
Let's not ever do that
I have
again.
An anxious brain.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna get in my car tomorrow.
Okay. Where was I? I don't even know.
Sorry.
I'm creeped out.
Butters.
Oh yeah.
You're angry, not scared.
Yeah, basically,
after.
And I thought that the writing was good, the cinematography, just the way they shot it all. The acting was just fantastic.
Yeah. Good.
So I would give it 4 as well out of 5 butter. I'm not sure about 5 just because I was so pissed off the whole time. Poppy went to go see it, but he walked out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He couldn't even stand it. And it's Poppy.
Yeah.
So he's not even speaking about it anymore. So all right. We'll that's back. The review.
Real
butter.
Okay, everyone. It is time for the next 1 minute with Matt.
Hey, Poppy.
You don't have to raise your voice. It is not necessary.
But I missed you, and you're awesome.
Yeah, but your voice is high-pitched, dude. You're mocking me.
But I'm not.
You're laughing at me right now.
No, you're making me laugh because you're that awesome.
Oh, my God. Let's get this over with. He's going to have 1 minute to review The Invisible Man, okay? 3, 2, 1, go.
Invisible Man, holy crap. Beats the other 5 films, beats both the original book by H.G. Wells. It's hard to talk about this film without going into spoilers, so I'm not going to spoil it. Poppy would brutally murder me, as hilariously cool as that would be. But
what?
The sound is good, the music's good, the directing was insane, the cinematography, holy crap, Lee Whannell is now 3 for 3. Saw, then Upgrade, which is another one to must see, and now this. Is there any way he can do no wrong? He also wrote Saw 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, go Lee. Keep rocking up. And that cast, wow. 4.75 mats out of 5. It's in my top 4 of the year already.
Well, that's a pretty good score. So all around, I think people should definitely watch it.
Oh, heck yeah. There is a minor disclaimer. If you've been through stuff or you had a really bad relationship, you let me know to prepare for it because you might get flashbacks or trigger to it. But it's
yeah,
worth a watch.
We said in the podcast, not if you were, going through that kind of thing, this probably isn't the movie for you.
Or watch it with a really good group that can go, hey, if you need a minute, sure, we can just pause this, But
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Matt, for that and making fun of me. Really appreciate it.
I wasn't.
Douchebag.
What? How? You're
back
awesome.
To you guys. Shut up.
The Real Butter Buttercast.
Welcome back.
Hey, we're back in the Real Butter Buttercast. Theodore here. Hello?
Yep.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, hi. Good. I thought maybe you guys would like to hear about monsters today.
Ooh.
I mean, go for it.
Yeah, so, okay. The Invisible Man. The Invisible Man is produced by Universal Studios, partly, and it's part of their effort to remake a lot of their classic horror films. Or what's called the Universal Classic Monsters.
Yeah.
So you may have heard of these. They're sort of part of our culture at this point. These are movies that were originally produced in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s. So this would be like Dracula with Bela Lugosi,
mm-hmm.
and Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Invisible Man,
Werewolf.
1933.
Werewolf.
Yeah, Bride of Frankenstein, Werewolf of London, Dracula's Daughter, and then a lot of other of remakes and Son of Frankenstein,
The Missing Link,
The Invisible Woman, The Wolfman, The Ghost of Frankenstein, Fish The Mummy's
Man.
Curse, etc., etc. So, recently, like in the 2000s, Universal had this big plan called Dark Universe, where they were going to kind of follow on the Marvel method.
Oh yes,
and
is that with Tom
put
Hanks?
Out a,
oh, wait, no.
Who? Yeah. So technically, the first of these was actually Dracula Untold with Luke Evans in 2014.
Is that really a part of that?
Yeah, it was like they sort of just made it and then they said, oh, we're going to make this shared universe. So they sort of like tweaked it a little bit, but the film didn't do very well. So they tried again in 2017 to remake The Mummy.
Oh, that was
with,
Tom Cruise. Yeah, Tom Cruise, not Tom Hanks.
Did not do well, did terribly.
No, it did not do good. They set it up at the end like a Marvel movie.
Oh.
There's like more stuff.
And they had already like announced the casting of Russell Crowe as Jekyll and Hyde, that character.
They
announced publicly that Javier Bardem was going to be the Frankenstein monster, and that Johnny Depp was going to be an Invisible Man. And then it all went so badly, they just like pulled the plug on the whole thing.
They just quit.
I had to go they went the other way. They just said, you know, we'll have these characters and different directors can do whatever they want with them, basically. They don't have to be connected. So, forget it. We didn't mean it.
I have a side note. My side note is, in one of my film classes I took when I was in college, we had to watch the original Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
So many times. I've literally talked about that movie to death. Like, we had to discuss. We watched every scene like 5 times, you know, like a scene at a time.
Oh, God.
I don't know why my professor was like so into this movie, you know? And it was a good movie, I understand, but like.
That's crazy.
It was at such a level of detail that I thought I was going to go nuts from this movie. So, anyway. Also, and I have another side note, not to derail you, Theodore, but Karina Longworth of You Must Remember This, my favorite podcast, besides this one, of course. She does, you know, Golden Age of Hollywood podcasts. And she has an entire series about Bela Lugosi, if I'm saying that right. And then another guy who played another monster in the Universal.
Boris Karloff?
Yes. Boris Karloff, is that what it was? I thought that was the name, but I didn't want to butcher it. But yes, exactly. Those two. And it's a mini series. And I haven't listened to that one yet specifically, but I've heard it's very good. So, and then she has some fun guest voice actors that voice those two actors. So, putting it out there, I really like her. She's also married to Rian Johnson, a.k.a. the director of The Last Jedi and also Knives Out. Two really good movies. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about The Last Jedi, but he did direct a great film called Brick, his first movie. I really like that one.
You know what? I can't stand for this. We're not gonna get back into the Star Wars thing. Let's move on.
All right, good. Oh. Universal. I pretty much, that was like the background there. So now they've made The Invisible Man. It's doing really well. And I don't know which one they're making next, but they've got plans.
I would like to see Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I think all these would be a cool take, especially if it's going to be kind of like this movie and more
modernized.
Know, modernized and whatnot.
Yeah.
Than more fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, what I do know is that Elizabeth Banks, has been announced that she will star, direct, and produce The Invisible Woman based on her own idea.
You know what? Listen, Charlie's Angels was not that great.
Yeah,
and
I know.
She also does the Pitch Perfect movies, which the first one, I think she got lucky, and the other ones were bad. So, you know, I'm all for women making movies and being able to produce and direct, but, like, she's got to up her quality here, you know?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. It bothers me. Because why does she get to do these things over and over again, you know? Why does she get the money?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't it other women?
Honestly, you could probably do a better job writing a story.
I mean, I would love to make a Charlie's Angels. That'd be so much
fun. Let's go do it.
You know?
And brought to you by Real Butter.
Like, to have Kristen Stewart and then you flub it. Mm. Okay. Let's move on. And that's all I got. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Done. Your wish is our command. So, I did do a poll for the Butterheads out there to see who their favorite classic monster was. So we may as well do the little drum roll.
Okay.
Which one is it?
Yeah, which number is this? Is it number 5?
5. We'll do 5.
Number 5.
The werewolf.
Hey!
The werewolf. This is and the werewolves have been around a long time. That's sort of like a classic folklore.
It's my favorite
thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you Team Jacob then?
I didn't participate in any of that nonsense.
You know, I was in high school when those books came out, so I'm guilty.
Those were giant dogs.
I was super into it. I was super into those movies and books. I got in trouble for reading them under my desk in high school. And I also made a t-shirt for the first movie with my friends. Like matching t-shirts with puff paint. Glow-in-the-dark puff paint. My sister had like Jacob posters, like shirtless Jacob posters up in her room. For like way too long. I was Team Edward though. Robert Pattinson all the way. All right, let's go again. Number four.
Number four is The Bride of Frankenstein.
Fascinating.
Yeah, this is one of the universal characters that is not based directly on a book, since obviously Frankenstein's a book, but not The Bride of Frankenstein.
Right. I've never seen anything with The Bride of Frankenstein in it, so...
Yeah, she's sort of, like, created to be his wife, which is a little, you know...
She's got the big hair,
I don't know
right?
about that.
Yeah.
With, like,
yeah, she's got
gray.
The big hair with the white stripe down the side, the right yeah. jagged stripe.
Yeah.
She's got a skunk hair.
She first appeared in, she appeared in 1935 as a sequel to 1931's Frankenstein, regarded as one of the greatest sequels in cinema history.
Ooh. Gosh, that's, like, almost 100 years ago.
You're right, yeah.
Jeez. Number three.
Peter discovers the passage of time.
Whoa. Man.
Whoa.
What's number three, man?
Number three would be The Mummy.
Whoa, dude.
Dude, like, you know, like, the mummies are, like, from, like, Egypt, like, ancient Egypt.
Dude, that's where all my toilet paper went.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Enough.
You gotta go.
No, I don't.
Stop it. Anyway.
Instead of toilet paper, it's just a mummy standing in the bathroom.
I have a question. So does this mean that the Brendan Fraser version of The Mummy was a remake?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Because, like...
The 1999 film and its sequels.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really, like... I don't think The Mummy as a concept belongs to anyone. It's sort of like a...
Oh, you just mean mummies in general.
Yeah, the
like,
mummy.
Yeah,
like,
you know, I think, like,
mummies.
Universal, like, when Universal says it's remaking its classic horror films, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not in the public domain in some regard.
Okay, I see.
Like, Dracula, anyone can make a Dracula movie at this point.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even Real Butter.
Yeah, we're on it right now. We're doing it right now.
Oh, wait a minute, I'm getting an idea. I'm getting an idea for my next screenplay.
Oh, my gosh. God.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, Real Utter versus The Mummy.
You know, the Brendan Fraser version of The Mummy scared me a lot as a child, I just have to say. My best friend really loved that movie, so we watched it a lot at her house, and I hated it. I just was like, I never wanted to watch it. I did not like the scare of beetles.
Just think of it as, like, an old guy with dementia, just kind of stumbled into a bathroom and kind of, like, got caught up in some toilet paper and was like, oh, help me.
Nothing like The Mummy.
And then that's,
like,
what The Mummy
literally
is.
Literally nothing. Unless the bathroom looked like an Egyptian tomb.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a nursing home.
I literally work in a nursing home. And they don't look like that.
Oh, you're going to the wrong nursing homes. Number two.
Well, here's the thing. Number two and number one are tied.
Ooh.
So,
one and two.
Yeah.
What is it?
I'll make you guess. One of these is based on an 1897 gothic horror novel.
Gothic.
By an Irish author.
Dracula? Is that like the...
Dracula is correct.
Okay, so like gothic is kind of...
Yeah.
It's a style of literature.
Pirate. Was that by Bram Stoker?
Indeed. Irish author Bram Stoker.
Oh, that's what you meant by Irish. I thought it was like...
No, he's literally Irish.
What else would Irish
mean? You know,
mean?
My brain was just like, oh, an Irish vampire.
No.
He just, like, sucks the life out of potatoes.
He's Transylvanian, right?
Transylvanian, indeed. It's a wonderful book. It's written in the epistolary form.
Oh, fun. That means it's in, like, letters. It's, like, written in letters. Like write, like, a letter.
Yes, indeed.
You send to someone.
Oh, I was like, isn't everything written in letters? Like, what?
I realize it's
no,
like
no.
As soon as
so, like,
it.
Personal letters and newspaper articles and other kind of secondhand items. So it's told through their perspectives, which is very interesting.
I like those kind of books.
Like a diary, right?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But you're sending it to someone?
Yeah.
Okay, but it shifts. It's like shifts point of view characters.
It's
so
like
you'll
very,
have a diary of one person, and then you'll have notes from someone else, and then you'll have a description from the newspaper.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Highly recommended. Very well written.
All right, what's the other one?
The other one, of course, is based on another gothic horror novel.
Dracula. Dracula again.
We already discussed that.
Again.
Frankenstein.
That is correct. But this one's earlier. It was actually published on the 1st of January, 1818.
Wow.
That's more than 100 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, indeed.
That's 200 years ago. too.
Some argue that it's could be considered the first science fiction story.
And it's written by a woman.
It's a good
That's
book,
right,
too.
Mary Shelley, shout
Mary
out.
Shelley.
It might be on my top books.
Did you know she carved the heart out of her husband after he died and carried it around in a jar?
Nice.
Oh, literally took his heart out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you meant carving his heart in a tree or something.
No, literally took his heart out of his body and carried it around in a jar.
That's one way to do it.
And
could
his
also
name is Percy. Percy
should also have a portrait, a ring, maybe.
I know there's many ways that we could
some
you
hair.
Know.
Maybe not a literal heart, but I mean, if that's what you got to do.
I mean, Brad Pitt did it in Legends of the Fall.
But
good movie.
But he didn't actually do it though.
Well, he ate the heart. Well, he didn't, I mean, it's not real life.
Yeah, this is real life. This
but
woman took her deceased husband's heart.
I mean, she wrote the first horror, the first science fiction horror novel. Maybe she's probably a weirdo. In a good way.
200-year-old weirdo.
Her,
Her
husband was, of course, the famous poet Percy Bysshe Shelley, and she wrote this story as part of a bet. So her husband and a couple of her friends, including her husband, were staying at a castle. The weather was really bad, and they had decided to have a competition who could write the best ghost story. And then she won the contest with Frankenstein.
That's pretty cool.
She was 18 years old.
What?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
she's
badass. She when she published the novel, she was 20. So she had started writing this when she was 18. What have you done with your life?
Worked at a movie theater. Forever.
Yeah.
Drank some real butter. Became eternal.
The curse life.
It's good butter. Can you send me some more? I'm getting a little wrinkly.
I sent you three jugs of real butter, man.
I
had to pay for all that.
Shoshana
extra
keeps
weight.
Drinking it.
Can you?
Shoshana's lost about 10 years.
Why is she drinking it? I told you that I would send it in, unlabeled bottles, which I have been doing, and she's still drinking them?
Oh my god. I think she finally left the room, I think.
She left?
Shoshana?
What is going on?
She turned invisible.
Oh my
Hello? There's somebody out here.
Okay.
This is weird.
Yeah, we'll be right back.